There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Wallenberg's life is a challenge to us all, to live those virtues of empathy and compassion. He was a Lutheran, and yet he risked his lives to save Jews.
The more I advanced I was in science, and the more I studied it, and the more I asked questions, the more I kept running into this idea of storytelling.
In a sense, that's what Romophobia does. You're swinging your sword so hard at Rome that you're actually doing injury to your brother.
The Augsburg Confession says the highest worship of the gospel is the desire to receive God's gifts. Not what we can bring to Jesus, our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Well, it seems that for single mothers, it's not as bad as it used to be. Certainly the social stigma of single motherhood has gone the way. And in some cases, that's a very, very good thing. But a recent survey reveals that single mothers are happier than they have been over the last 40 years or so, while married mothers are a little less happy. And so that so-called happiness gap that exists between single mothers and married mothers seems to be narrowing a bit. What does it all mean? Is that the best measure of the kind of the social impact of single motherhood or single parenting? How happy you are doing it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of September. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us to talk about the narrowing happiness gap between single mothers and married mothers. Also, her review of a new book called Home Economics, The Consequence of Changing Family Structure. See what she thinks about that book. A little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Charles St. Ange joins us, part four of our series on Christianity and Science Today, Stewardship, Science, and Scripture. We'll be talking what normally is called environmentalism and understand that in its proper created context a little bit later in this hour. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Out in your neck of the woods, the LA Times has the headline, Single Moms Narrowing Happiness Gap. Research says they're catching up with other women who are now less happy. When you hear this kind of headline and this kind of research, what's your first reaction?
Well, my first reaction is to run and see if I can find the study itself and find out what it really says, because I've read enough of these studies that purport to support some aspect of the sexual revolution to know that a lot of times the headlines are extremely misleading. But this particular study, if you go to the LA Times article and you click on where it says published online, you end up at a link that costs you $40 to download the study. So I didn't get to read the whole thing, Todd, but that's my first instinct is, boy, oh boy, I want to look at those tables before I get all excited about this headline here.
Okay, but how about this? For both kind of the agenda of feminism, the promises and prophecies of feminism, along with the sexual revolution, there wasn't supposed to be a happiness gap by now. Women who are...
No, that's right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, that's right. It was supposed to be that single women were going to be happier than married women. It was supposed to be that marriage was the trap that harmed women, and that single motherhood was no big deal, just another lifestyle choice, and women would be fine if they just had enough economic resources. Whether you were married or not shouldn't matter. Whether you were a single mom or not shouldn't matter. All of that should be gone, certainly by now. And so even this cheerful headline is betraying the fact that that hasn't happened. That forecast that was made, you know, whenever Betty Friedan started writing, you know, that forecast has certainly not come true. And they've certainly had plenty of time to get the job done if they were going to do it.
Why did the leading lights of feminism and of the sexual revolution, why did they envision kind of this utopian future for women minus men?
Well, Todd, I think that that one of the driving forces behind this particular kind of feminism, I'm always a little reluctant to use the word feminism because a lot of women are attached to that word because they think it means pro-woman, but there are a lot of ways to be authentically pro-woman that don't involve these the modern feminist movement. But anyway, I think what they had in mind is that they thought that if you could be completely independent and autonomous and take care of yourself, just like John Locke and Jean-Jacques Rousseau, each in their different ways, anticipated, you know, that that's the modern person. The modern person is supposed to be completely independent and free and autonomous. That's the key to happiness. And so what modern feminism was offering was to say, well, you know, women should have that too. And what has happened is that all of those theories, whether they're left-wing, right-wing, masculinism, feminism, they're all based on something that isn't true, namely the idea that independence is the key to happiness. You know, you have to have some independence, but it's not the ultimate good. There's also a huge good involved in relationship and being interdependent. And certainly in the project of bringing forth new life, that's a project that is intrinsically an interdependent project. It takes one man and one woman to get that job done. And if mothers and fathers don't know how to cooperate with one another, that fact will make everybody unhappy, you know. And so that will account for a lot of decline in happiness overall. And your modern feminists really couldn't deal with that because they had an image of independence and autonomy from other individuals as being the key to people's happiness. Now, pasted over the top of that image was an image of the relationship between the individual and the state. It was the state, the government, that was supposed to be the stand-in for every other form of human relationship and human society, that the state was going to provide the money that the husband would have provided. The state was going to provide social services that would provide what your grandma used to do for you. The state would provide counseling services that would take up the job of what your confessor used to do for you. All of those things that were done by civil society, including marriage, were to be done by some kind of professionalized, overweening state. And so that's the image that they had. That's their utopian image. Individualism plus statism, you know, that's the way they put it together. And it hasn't worked. It hasn't made people happy. And this study, you know, as joyful as LA Times is trying to be about it, this study really doesn't make a dent in the fact that that kind of individualism isn't making people happy, because single women still are unhappy compared to married women. And that's the thing that comes out. If you really read the thing, if you get as far as reading the abstract of this study, it's being single that is the thing that creates the gap amongst women. Okay, so if you look at single women with children, without children, that's what the study seems to be saying. And so, you know, that's saying that women don't like being alone, that autonomy isn't the highest value for women, and it's not the highest value for men either when it gets right down to it, you know. So I think that's what you're dealing with. And this little piece in the LA Times here is, you know, part of the sexual revolutionary's last-ditch effort to prop up this image of radical individualism as a form of feminism. And I think it's kind of lame, actually, myself.
You recently reviewed a new book, Home Economics, The Consequences of Changing Family Structure. And while you agreed with a fair amount of what the author had to say in his research, you felt that Nick Schultz, the author of this book, was overly cautious. What do you mean by that, with about a minute or so here?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, everybody should go to the AEI website, the American Enterprise Institute website, and look for this little book called Home Economics, because it's a very handy little pocket-sized book that explains all of the economic consequences of single motherhood, divorce, and out-of-wedlock childbearing, and all these things that you and I talk about from a religious perspective. They've got it all right there from a fiscal perspective. So it's a very handy little book. But the fact is, he kept saying, "Well, I'm going to stay away from any moralizing. I'm not going to pass any judgments." But the truth is, if you've got something that is harmful to people in the way these social trends are, you should be a little bit judgmental. You know, it's perfectly okay to say that it's a bad thing to make people miserable. You know, but he couldn't say it. And so I had this image as I was reading it, as if he was coming right up to an electric fence. And just not wanting to touch it, just jumping back as he got close to it, because he knows if he says one thing that sounds even remotely moralized, man, he's going to get zapped. Somebody's going to yell at him. So it's like he's sneaking right up to it, but he won't come out and say, you know, this is a bad deal. People are getting hurt by this, and we should put a stop to it. He won't say that because he's afraid of feminists, the certain type of feminists we've been talking about. He's afraid of them yelling about being moralizing. Meanwhile, they're moralizing all over the place, you know, by calling people patriarchy and, you know, supporting patriarchy and all those kinds of things that they say. So that's why it was kind of a disconnect for me as I read this book. In one sense, I liked it very much. But I really, you know, want to encourage him to, step out and go ahead and touch that electric fence. Maybe just kind of run right through it and blast through it. It'll only sting a minute, you know, and then you're through on the other side and you're free once you get through.
With about 30 seconds here, Jennifer, what are the two conclusions you would draw from his? You say there's a conclusion regarding contraception and divorce that we should draw from his research. About a minute.
Well, the fact is that contraception and divorce are kind of the key structural facts that made the sexual revolution possible. Those are institutional changes that have made the sexual revolution possible. And so I think we now know that those things have not at all lived up to their promises. They're empty promises. He's got one little table in there showing how few people actually use contraception every single time they have sex. And so that tells you that if they're having sex anytime they want, even with a partner who's not appropriate, well, of course they're going to get pregnant sometimes, right? Because they're not using it consistently. And so that accounts for the rise of single motherhood, the rise of abortion coming right along with the rise in the use of contraception. Those are not contradictory positions. And so he didn't say this, but he's actually got the evidence in there that kind of points to why that's happening.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to continue our series on Christianity and science. We've talked about the ethical pitfalls. We've talked about and disputed the notion that there's a fundamental difference between science and Christianity, that they're irreconcilable. We're going to turn to the so-called environment and environmentalism when we come back for part four of our series on Christianity and science. Pastor Charles St. Ange will be our guest. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.